This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We are a podcast where we drive comedians in a car to the airport.
Yep.
Remember that?
Oh, we have peeled away all the layers of this podcast. We're down now to the dry, the skeleton, the 3,000-year-old mummy of the podcast.
I thought you were saying, we peeled away the layers and we're down to just crying. God damn, I'm so glad we don't have to go to the airport, just personally. I don't know if people miss that or not, but I doubt it.
I feel like there were moments at LAX in the last couple times we went that felt like the end of the world was starting.
Yeah.
It was so stressful and frenzied and crowded and nutso.
Mm-hmm.
Like hours of driving and sitting and waiting and being late.
Yeah. And it was the only time people got a glimpse into my other side, which is my extreme anger. It's always under the surface.
Sure.
And
better place to bring it out?
Yeah. Nowadays, everyone just thinks I'm this delightful person, but percolating underneath.
Do they?
Sheer rage. Yeah. Yeah. They really think that I'm, but no, you guys got to know I'm a Jekyll and Hyde person.
I mean, I think we all are though. There are things that the things that trigger you don't trigger other people. So for you, you think, oh my God, it's this thing. But everybody has a version of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody has some kind of thing that they cannot not like freak out on.
Right. We all right. Do. Like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future when people called him chicken. That's what set him off.
Your version of that is having to drive and be the sound guy at the same time and to have
just
conversation.
Just you describing it brings me rage.
My favorite was when you'd go, just go ahead and talk. I'm trying to figure something out. Where I'd be like, okay, sounds good. Sounds good. I'll do my monologue now.
But you would. You would go straight into exploring a thought you had that day.
I would always just be like, Chris, if we get it recorded, we're lucky. Let's just live that way.
And I don't even remember what I was doing. Just turning a knob back and forth. What was I doing?
Yeah, I think you would lose faith because we did lose a couple good shows. So every once in a while, you'd be convinced it wasn't recording anymore.
Yeah, I was traumatized by that Lost Tig episode. I just was. Let's face it.
No, of course you were. And it's like once we started doing My Favorite Murder and Steven was there every single fucking time for us, I was just like, do you need a ride? More than any show I know needs a fucking on-hand engineer, like, please, in the backseat, helping us out.
Yeah,
if anything does, it's this show.
Yeah, we just got soured on the whole thing because the first guy was weird. And so
Yeah, it was too random. It was too, like, you know, hiring people just kind of like, it didn't have the team spirit. You need to know your engineer and trust them and know that they know better than you so that you're in good hands and you don't have to doubt it.
You're right. I'm glad you said that. We hired different people, so I wasn't talking about anyone specifically. It was a random team.
There's several different. Several
guys
different.
Are weird.
No. I thought one of them was weird, but now, even if they're listening, they don't know who.
They don't know.
Yeah, it could have been anyone.
For a long time, Aaron Brungart at All Things Comedy engineered for us when we were in the studio, and he is the greatest.
Yeah, okay, good
point. He's the greatest producer engineer guy.
I wasn't even thinking of him because he's inherently a sweetheart, and he always was.
He was never in the car with
anytime, right. Anytime I call him with a question, though, he'd try and figure it out. He'd drop what he was doing. He'd sometimes be in the middle of studio podcasting, and he still is a fan of our podcast, even though we're not at that network anymore, and he's always like retweeting things, and I love that guy. So
supportive. It's like old school. You know how I met him was he was a big fan of Walking the Room with Dave Anthony and Greg Barron.
Oh, okay.
And he would be like, if those guys asked me to do one of their live shows, like that's how I think I first met him. And it's just so cool when a person who like really loves and adores podcasting is doing it for a living. It makes a huge fucking difference. It's like you have to be in and want to be in it. I think.
Yeah, he gets it and he likes it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He's great. Aaron Brungart.
Now every week we're going to spotlight a different podcasting engineer.
It's called
We're just make, so many wonderful people.
Yeah, make Steven jealous. He's How one of the you. Best Steven. We've ever had. Steven's like, of course, number one.
We're going to build up to you from, we're starting at 500. Oh. And we'll build up to you.
Sweet. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. That's so funny. I am looking at two giant, like when you go to Wash Club or one of these online services where they come and pick it up, which is actually surprisingly expensive. I don't have a washer and dryer, and so I have to take care of my laundry, and I don't want to go to a laundromat because they're scary and germ filled. So I'm looking at two giant bags of what would be considered 20 loads.
Oh.
I just have a lot of underwear and socks because when it's time to do laundry, I buy more underwear and socks. So now I've gotten to the point where I'm washing a lot of clothing.
You're an underwear hoarder? Is this what you're admitting to?
I'm an underwear whore.
Underwear?
Underwear.
Wait, sorry.
Don't remind me of my childhood. I just start giggling.
So there's a thing called washclub.com where they do your laundry for
they
you?
They showed up. They were efficient. It showed up perfectly folded in. The only problem was I had some woman's clothing and she had mine. So we had to figure out that snafu. Because I'm like, I don't have a lot of lacy, doily, blousy things. This must be Gladys's. And then I sent them away with some of her clothes. Half the clothes were mine. Whatever. It soured me on the whole business. So I've been...
The mix-up did?
Yeah, the mix-up. I don't need some ladies bloomers. You know going to put them on my head and do a funny dance.
I think you can withstand disappointments like that are not permanent.
I withstood it for a while. I wore her underwear for a few days.
There's the thing. It's so funny that you say that because that's the first thing I thought of where I was like, if that happened to me and I had switched clothes with a man, I would absolutely be like, this guy absolutely went through and like looked at my underwear, if not touched and or smelled it.
Yeah.
So just the idea that you're immediately going, I didn't put her underwear on my head.
No, I felt when she finally got her bloomers and I got my boxers, I knew both of us felt good because they did such a good job of folding them that no human, unless you worked at the Gap, no human can fold this efficiently. So I'm like, she won't, she'll know.
It would have stood out if she had like basically.
Yeah.
Shook out some of your boxers to take a peek.
Yeah, yeah. One envelope like crease with a skew, I would have picked up on it. So, yeah.
And you would have called
The underwear busters.
Underwear busters!
Have you had your underwear taken to another person's house where they then tampered with them in a sexual way? Call 1-800.
Who you gonna call?
Yeah, no one's calling. I guess it's a specific problem.
There's songs like that that I was like 12 years old when that movie got crazy popular and that song would be on the radio. Literally, they would play the Ghostbusters theme on the radio. So you'd be like walking through the grocery store all bored, but that song would be like,
yeah.
Do you remember? It was such a weird, like, things were so corny back then.
Oh my God. It very, and I just want to talk about Andy Ritchie had a joke where he was talking about that song. He's like, they were all, Ray Parker Jr. was already recording that song. It wasn't even for the movie. He just lost his mind in the studio and he was singing and then all of a sudden said, I ain't afraid no ghost. And they said, hey, Ray, no one said you had to be. Let's finish the track. He like made it seem like it was a accidental song where he was going crazy in the studio. It was... I can't redo his material, and he's not here to defend himself, but it was the funniest. Anyway, Andy Ritchie, rest in
Andy Ritchie.
No, I've been trying to... I don't know why, but I watched Wild Hogs yesterday. Just because it's so funny that it exists. And it was everything I thought it would be. It was like...
I've never seen it. Will you just quickly walk me through every act of that film?
They're okay. It starts with Tim Allen. He was the biggest star at the time. And also Martin Lawrence is in it. Oh. And I don't know if the writers did this because John Travolta's in it. It's John Travolta, Martin Lawrence, Tim Allen, and William H. Macy, who is great in it.
Sure, of always.
It is a terrible script, though. It's so homophobic. Every other joke is like, wait, why are you spooning with me? And they say the F word in it all the time. It is nonstop. Because I guess they're trying to be bikers, and so they're like trying to be masculine. But the whole movie...
By accusing everybody else of being homosexual.
Yeah, there's back-to-back scenes where they're skinny dipping and then these kids jump in and they, let's look for crawfish. And someone grabs Travolta's dick. And then there's a gay cop that follows them around and is trying to... It is insane. It's just a simpler time. And when you watch it, you're like, oh my God, people used to be so stupid. These writers.
God, that sounds...
It was insane. The whole movie's insane.
It sounds very high risk.
Yeah. It is pretty nuts. Yeah. But I enjoyed it and I laughed out loud a couple times. I'm just...
Because you're in that...
Yes.
In that frame of mind, yeah. When Tim Allen is hilarious, you know you've been in the apartment for a while.
Well, here's the thing. Tim Allen can be good. I mean, we got Galaxy Quest. We got the Santa Claus, he can act. You just have to forget that he's probably voting for Trump by mail tomorrow.
He's a furious Republican.
Right.
But in the Santa Claus, would that be his performance? Because wouldn't he have had a beard on for a lot of it once he turns into Santa?
I think that in spite of the beard covering his face, he shines through. He is so good in Santa Claus, the movie.
For really?
Yes. I promise you, everyone listening.
I believe you.
Santa Claus, the movie. Tim Allen is a talented actor. And he just had this, you might be a redneck type act because he's a, you know.
Well, there's like a 90s road comic. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's a good actor. He's good.
I do love Galaxy Quest. That movie is so perfect for him. And of course, you know, he's the Toy Story Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, when
he can act. He's been very successful for a long time.
Yeah. He is good. He's good at acting. Let's hear it. Let's another shout out for Tim Allen here.
I just didn't realize we were going to go into complimentary mode for Wild Hogs. I thought it was going to be a searing takedown. I will absolutely adjust my approach. No one needs it in this quarantine.
I just went to watch it and I watched it from credits to credits and I did not expect that.
Well, yeah, then there's something to be said for that. That yeah, kept maybe. You. It held you. It kept you.
Mm-hmm. Ray Liotta's in there doing a caricature of himself.
Like Goodfellas style?
Yeah, he was like doing, do your best Ray Liotta. And he's like, oh, I can do that. It was pretty
Did fun. You ever see the movie Something Wild with
yes,
Melanie
he's
Griffith?
Horrifying in it.
Oh,
he is so scary in that.
So hot in that.
Right, yeah, and yeah.
With his scariness.
Yeah,
it's his scariness makes him, it's like he's the devil walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. And then Jeff Daniels, right?
Jeff
is
Daniels,
the guy that she's with that's Melanie like, Griffith. What the fuck is going on? It's such a good movie.
I only know it had like good music in it. When I was a kid, my sister gave me the soundtrack to listen to because it had New Order and all these
bands. Didn't it have Iko on it? Also, look at that king all dressed in the Iko on there.
Oh, I hope not. Because that just makes me think of Beetlejuice.
I hope not. Talk about hey now. Hey now.
I've been listening to know that they were ever my jam, but Cocteau Twins, I've been listening to a 1990 album, and it is the best. It might be an advanced, you and I both love the Sundays. This is like ethereal. Is that the word? Where it's
ethereal?
Like
ethereal.
Uh-huh. Ethereal. Yeah.
Ethereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all over the place and beautiful. And each song is like 10 songs in one, but it's just, it's what Enya wanted to be. And that's a bad advertisement, but
it's the Sundays going to art school.
Right.
It's like,
right.
It's like the Sundays just started doing coke and dyeing their hair.
Right. It's really the Sundays and they took too many credits.
Yes. But one of their songs, Song of the Siren, are you listening to the album that has that?
I'll look right now. It's in my queue.
It's the best. It is my favorite song. When I discovered that song, I think I was like 18 in Sacramento driving around in the fucking 100 degree heat. And I just listened to it over and over.
So that's that's before this was, I was surprised, is a 90s album, Heaven or Las Vegas. And it has all of their big hit songs. And it's that, I think the new term is dream pop. Everything, if I type dream pop into Spotify, it is your everything from that to Beach House and what, it's just what I like now.
That's a good sound.
And Air and Radiohead, all that stuff is in there. I used to say it made me sleep, but I've been listening to a lot of music lately and I have not slept for a few days. So that's a rumor. It keeps me up. Music keeps me.
Are you just like doing the thing where you watch TV and kind of like doze off and wake up and do that kind of thing? Or are you just like up completely?
Yes. I'm waking up at weird hours. I'm waking up at 4 a.m. and not knowing to do with that. If I wake up at 6 a.m., I go skateboard with the grumpy crew. And then other days I'm like, I slept 12 hours. Am I dying?
Yeah, sure.
It's all over the map. I think that I'm really, it's different from being in Montana. I knew this would happen. I haven't seen a lot of people. I'm kind of being weird and still having fun. I got a new dollhouse.
Still having fun with other people's laundry.
Haven't done it. Scared to leave the house. Haven't left for 5 days. Only to bring out the garbage, but I
but
did.
That's fun for me.
I ordered a new, that carpet that I dumped a gallon of pho on, or pho.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I replaced that. I noticed online there was a very sweet GoFundMe to get me a round natural woven carpet. I said abort mission. I have ordered one and it came and it is beautiful. And it really makes, I'm going to rearrange my room. I got tiny bricks and wood. I'm going to do wood flooring and grout and put bricks on in this tiny dollhouse that I got. I'm going to modify it. I'm just going to get really
in there. For a second, I thought, I thought you were ripping up the floor. And I'm like, Chris, you do have to leave that apartment. Please.
No, I got a magnifying glass thing like Toni Collette has in Hereditary. What's it? Yes. Yeah. I got one of the, so I can see. I got a magnifying glass thing and I'm going to get into it. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to paint.
Did you say like Toni Collette in Hereditary?
Yeah, that's hilarious. Get the, well, remember.
And then I'm going to crawl on the ceiling.
Well, that.
I have my hoop in.
That movie had the potential of being my favorite scary film. And after I watched it, I was mad that it seemed like her miniature worlds were just happening after things really happened, when what I wanted out of that movie was for her miniature dioramas or whatever to dictate what was about to happen. I didn't want it to be a devil movie. I wanted it to be a crazy lady that is trying to be a mother, and she's doing these miniature worlds and dictating what happens in real life. That would have been a better script. And I'll rewrite it. And corn tortillas are on the way. And I'm not even kidding. I talked to my friend. He's figuring out a formula. I've heard enough positive feedback that there soon, Karen, will be a foldable. Imagine a flour tortilla that you would make. I think I pitched it to you wrong before when we did our tank session.
You did.
This is a imagine just a flour tortilla. For burritos.
Okay.
All right. you have celiac, or you have inflammatory issues, and flour, and this is not a rumor, triggers those things. Also, you enjoy the taste of corn. You enjoy a tortilla chip. Yes, suddenly now, here's a foldable, even while raw, foldable burrito-sized tortilla, hear me out, that does not need frying. It is just a corn, not one of those gluten-free fuckers that'll crumble every time you fold it. Okay. I won't do that in the pitch.
How? there's so many questions. When's this pitch going to be over? How? Because I just want to shout how at you. How?
I got a guy on it.
Okay. I mean, I want to believe in you, but corn tortillas are the fucking breakiest motherfuckers in the game.
This guy,
we all know it,
is a pizza guy. He figured out pizza crust, gluten-free pizza crust. He already has meddled with corn type pizza crusts. Very popular pizza restaurant that he owns. We're going to business together.
Are you talking to Papa John about this idea?
He also loaned me a 68 Corvette from his garage. And I'm trying to ignore that he carved KKK on the dashboard. I don't know. What did he do wrong again? He's racist. Right?
I think he's racist. I think he came out as, not came out as, but like, did some stuff that I can't remember specifically,
but it
was pretty bad and like Trumpy weird.
He was on, I remember now, it was like a call where they were talking about what is it when there's someone in the office that you complain to about someone?
HR?
HR. I just called it H&R, and then I was like, H&R Block or HR, the singer from Bad Brains. Am I confused again? Anyway, I think he said the N-word repeatedly on a call.
On a business call?
He's like, well, yeah, you don't want someone coming in, some guy that says this. And he said it out loud and someone leaked it. And I think, so that I think is what it was. But then on top of that, I think he's also a lunatic, but
yes,
I saw.
There was just one story that got it. I think it was an accumulation.
Right.
I also might be confusing him with the MyPillow guy because they both have weird dyed brown hair.
They both are like
similar vibe.
Yeah, they hang out so much. I bet. And I had the most recent Trump speech thing. He was roasting the MyPillow guy. So that's good. Yeah, he was making fun of him. I was like,
does he have any friends? Does he have anyone that he's loyal to in his life?
He probably, that guy didn't shake his hand or hug him at one of his rallies, and so he started roasting him.
That guy, like, has dedicated his life to Donald Trump.
Yeah, and he very recently was totally making fun of him.
Wow.
He's just like, oh, this guy, this weird, I wish I made a pillow so I could just, I can't remember what he said, but I keep starting conversations where I have no details, but yeah.
Wow, that's, I'm got a little bit blown away that
yeah, he was talking shit guy. About him. He wasn't kissing shit. His ass. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it was like he was a member of his cabinet or something.
Well, what goodbye.
That pause only means we're out of steam.
We're out of topics.
I did a show, a live show streaming from a stage in a giant facility that my manager's boyfriend run. They do like live concert LED projected light experiences during these concerts, and so they have just this
he's
facility.
A rave promoter. You're kind talking of that, about raves.
I mean, what you would see at a rave, a laser light show LED thing, but also projected images that go on the side of buildings for promotion and stuff. And
who did it?
It's called nightlight.tv.
No, who did the show?
I just me for 75 minutes talking to myself in an empty room with only a monitor of my own face, which I very quickly learned to ignore. But it was very fun to do that much comedy and like new material, but so weird because there's no response to go that long and just be talking to myself and just rest on knowing that people were listening and maybe liking it, but people are saying they liked it, but it felt weird. And I was drenched with sweat at the end.
Yeah. I can't imagine that would be in any way easy, because that's like that show that Ian, you know, where it's, you're in a separate room from the rest of the audience. So you have to do your set to a camera you're just off the room.
That was a show a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy, Ian. Jesus.
Michael Ian Black? Sorry.
No.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It just feels like that, where it's almost like you were doing one of those like a concept show, but it was just actually a streaming. Would you call it a streaming special?
Yes, it was. And I think that I went into it thinking that there would be designated laughers in the same Zoom situation where I would hear them, but it was just people in the next room and not a lot of people showed up, so I could hear like five people on the other side of the wall laughing, but it didn't help. When it's only a handful, it actually, because then when you get nothing you really think it flopped. I don't know, it was just very scary, but a fun experience. And then the Q&A, we have the best fans. There was like a little Q&A VIP thing that we did afterwards, and the sweetest people ever were in there. And that was the funnest part, is talking to.
So in that situation, do you get like people come on screen and you get to hang out for a minute?
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. Yeah, it was for 2 minutes and it went on for a couple hours. It was a lot of people, and they were really sweet, and it made me feel really good.
Great.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I didn't know what to expect, and just know that people that like our podcast are the best people.
They're awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun. That was the best part. Cool. I didn't like the stand-up, or I didn't enjoy the stand-up part.
Of course not. What? What? Yeah. There's no benefit to you to doing to performing that way. Yeah. You're not a fucking actor and you're not a psycho. So talking, making up the best ideas you can think of, saying them and getting zero response.
Yeah.
If you did that for 3 minutes, if I did that for 3 minutes, I would die inside. 70 yeah. minutes of it.
And I was Jesus. When I went to old jokes, but I was trying new stuff and it was like, I don't even know what I'm blurting out. I haven't watched it yet. I have to edit it down to at least 60 minutes. But the point is, it was very fun. And it was...
Go good. Yeah. Well, that's good.
In retrospect, not during. During, I was stressed out and sweaty. You understand. When nothing is fun while you're doing it. It's when it's done and you look back on it and it's like, I was working. Let me... acknowledge what I did while I was working, and now I, in retrospect, I enjoyed myself. But during it, I'm a mess, and I know that it could go south. And
you know what's interesting, I think, is like you and I are very similar in this way, where we will often hate or attack or blame the audience for our bad time that we have on.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that you would be forced into that position where basically you're just on your own in every way.
That's what was therapeutic almost for me, is there was no blaming the audience and there was no me falling back on my ability to defense mechanism, make people laugh. I used to use making people laugh to get out of getting beat up, or
you sure?
my mom being mad at me, or I'm like, well, I can make her laugh and get, but now I can't. That's not what it is. It's like, let me deliver this stuff. So after I was done, I was like, well, that was horrifying and awful, but I kind of want to do it again and get good at it, because I think it's like a secret. It's like Rocky lifting weights in that barn.
Yes, it is. You're really pushing yourself and doing a thing that, like, you're paring it down, and you're basically you're paring away the demons like that you're fighting as you do comedy, and better for the whole. Because you in particular spend a lot of time talking about like how that didn't go right after sets that are awesome and brilliant and everyone is very happy about. So the idea that you kind of get to peel it back and then just do what you're doing is, it couldn't be more strengthening. Couldn't be more of a, like a workout for that.
Thanks.
It's a great opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah. And well, I'm going to go back and I was doing drawings that as a, everyone mentions Bob Ross because my hair looks ridiculous now, but I did some drawings that as I draw them turn into something else, or when it's finished, you rotate it and then it's something entirely different. And I just Googled, like, what are some weird hidden drawings you could learn? But I had to figure out how to do them. And that part was really fun, like a PBS type show where, because it looked like a studio type room. So I'm going to do that again. Because it was a way to, like, just talk about random shit as you're drawing. And I think that I want to keep doing that. I think that...
That sounds fascinating.
Even if that becomes a job, I would be like, oh, that's the best. So that part was really fun. I'm going to...
Hosting your own kind of, like, watch me draw show?
Yeah, for kids. But all the inappropriate things that happen in the drawings. Not just dicks and pentagrams. But that's what I did this last time. Things that kids shouldn't see, but they're in the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just say because I watched a lot of Bob Ross before that. He very often would, like, he'd just be painting and talking about trees, and then he'd start talking about Vietnam or kind of dark things, just barely touching on it. And did you know he never got paid by PBS?
Really?
He just used that show to sell his paint. He started a oil paint company. And he was like, well, this is good promotion. He only made money when they would use his episodes for some PBS fundraiser or something where they'd sell DVDs. That was the only time he...
Well, that kind of makes sense, though, because it's all public television. Like, I feel like there's a lot of volunteer stuff going
on. Yeah, he was a big...
What's weird about that is Mr. Rogers was fucking rich.
Oh, really?
Just, no. Not at
all. He lived in a glass house above a poor village.
right in Malibu. He lived above the ocean.
He'd throw beer bottles at passing cars that he didn't think should be in the neighborhood. What if he was a lunatic?
He sued all of his neighbors. He just kept suing people.
What if, Mr. Rogers went home and he's just like fucking a rich Sid Vicious where he's like, fuck you.
He puts a silk kimono on and nothing else and then just drinks bourbon and just fucking shoots guns at his neighbor's porch.
Yeah, lights fireworks in his living room. Yeah, Bob Ross was a drill sergeant. I didn't know that. He'd like, spent his whole life yelling at soldiers. He's an interesting person.
Happy little trees! Happy little trees!
I don't even know why I'm saying this yet. I was thinking about him as the character, but I might keep doing that. It was fun.
What's the restaurant you would say you order the most from right now? This is going to be a little bit of quarantine talk.
Yes. I've been trying... Finally, a bunch of back orders of HelloFresh showed up. I got new pots and pans. I got a sharp new knife, which it's funny. I've never had a sharp knife that works. It makes cooking more fun and easy. But prior to that, pho. I've been eating a lot of pho from Silver Lake Ramen. And then...
Yep. It's so good.
I'd have to order out because there's no sushi in this neighborhood. Anyway, there's a sushi place downtown I've been ordering from. And then, and then I just get burritos and all that stuff that I'm like, time to eat at 10 o'clock because I want to.
Wait, would you say Doritos or burritos?
Burritos.
Burritos, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really like Mexican food and so on.
I do too.
I order it constantly.
I, the other day, found a lot of pleasure and relief in standing over a bowl of tortilla chips from a really good Mexican restaurant and eating them one after the other, almost to the point of endangering myself because it was just so satisfying and the chips were so good.
And they're sharp.
I was just like, I'm just going to do this nonstop.
Do you ever put salsa in it and eat it like some sort of cereal?
Do you ever go on a diet? Put salsa in the bowl and mix it around?
Yeah, and eat it like cereal. When it's the bottom of the bag of chips, you do it.
Oh, no, I have never done that because I'm talking about like chips from, because I'm too good.
Oh, yours are delivered on a hot platter. I still get bag chips like a plebiosaur or whatever it's called.
My thing is this. I'm the pickiest eater of all time. So I don't like a lot of shit on stuff. And I definitely don't like things too spicy.
Gotcha.
So I never like combine things. I don't like jar salsa. It has to be like fancy, fire roasted kind of
like
homemade
both.
Salsa.
I'm like, give me your pico de gallo and then pick up the pace. I love it. I love both.
Go ahead and pick up the pace, buddy.
Pick up the original. Pick up the pace.
That's it. New York City.
Get a
New
rope.
New York City.
Get a rope. No, oh, what a funny joke about hanging. It's
hanging a person for being from New York.
Commercial right now.
Anti-Semitic, absolutely. Let's just start there and really say it and really mean it.
You want me to get into character and really sell this so later it can be taken out of context and ruin my life. Here we go. Action.
New York City.
Get a rope. Is that
New
enough?
York City?
I
don't like. Here's my thing. Uh-huh. A certain type of processed tomato sauce, whether it is like processed salsa or processed tomato pizza sauce.
Sure.
It's too. There's something about it. It gets too tart and like.
Yeah.
I just am not down for. I much prefer to go on the other end, away from like tomato acidic.
Yeah.
And into like I'll do a white pizza.
Sure.
Cheese and olive oil and garlic, that whole thing.
I don't even fuck with ketchup. I'm a mustard man. It's like, don't give me that marinara in a jar. I get it. But with salsa, for some reason, I like the fresh, the cart that comes by your table and they'll make pico de gallo. Have you ever been to that situation. It's the
best. Have I ever been to Chevy's? Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
But then I also want Pace, which is the ketchup of salsa. I don't know why.
Because you're the guy that you always go, I don't care about sweets, right? You're that guy.
Yeah.
So like if we're on a road trip, you'd be like, beef jerky for me.
Yeah. But
I'm a 12-year-old boy. Salami for me.
But if you give me, if you throw a Kit Kat on the ground, I will punch other people to get at it. Like won't acknowledge that I like sweets. And yeah.
Because it's too powerful.
I really have been enjoying candy lately.
I was just going to tell you, I just tried two new kinds of candy yesterday.
From America?
From America. Not even a Ritter bar, not Kinder Sport, whatever that shit is with toys inside chocolate. No.
Kinder Sport football everywhere else.
My friend Rob got me super into Nerds ropes, which are nerds.
Right. We talked about that.
Gummy. Okay.
Emblazoned with little nerds.
Yes. Nerds everywhere. Just such a good candy.
I've been meaning to get one. That's a real Willy Wonka situation.
It is full on Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm. So me and Bridger went to CVS to try to buy some Nerds ropes yesterday.
I haven't hung out with anyone. How's Bridger?
He was good. I mean, he came over for like 2 hours.
I know. No, I'm not. That's not why I bring it up. I'm just like, I miss. That would be
being
fun.
Around people.
Hey,
I get
then
it.
I'm coming over and I'm dropping off this painting. Fucking
okay,
tomorrow.
Great. Perfect.
Tomorrow? All right.
Okay.
It is tomorrow.
I'm going to. But no, listen. So
okay, sorry.
Didn't find any Nerds ropes, but what there were chewy Nerds. I think they're even called chewy fat Nerds. And they're basically a big oversized Nerd that almost has the vibe of that Easter candy that's like a jelly bean.
Sure.
With the nonpareils on the outside of it.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking.
But the outside coating is Nerds. So when you bite into it, you get that like biting a thousand Nerds vibe.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's a little jelly bean. It was real. They were really good.
Yeah. So it's like a texture experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like
which it. Is what Nerds is all about.
It really is. Right? When you first said a soft Nerd, I almost left the fucking room.
Enraged.
But if it's soft and then your classic crunchy outer Nerd.
Yeah. The outer Nerd brings it together and brings it back into the Nerd's palette.
Yeah.
Then the other thing I tried was, and these are amazing, Sweet Tart ropes. So they look like, it looks like licorice, but right. It's made by the Sweet Tart people. So it's a rainbow. And then you bite into it and it's really sour, but it's not so sour that you lose your shit. Like those other sour candies where you're like, oh, my teeth have holes in them now.
Right.
It's just more sour than regular. It's really good.
People always say that, like, it's so sweet that it hurts my teeth. And I think I don't get that. Like, I can chew on tinfoil and people freak out. I don't think my teeth are sensitive to anything. But if something is cold or ice cream, I can't. Like, when I see people bite into ice cream, fuck that.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't do that either.
It's the most painful. So I guess teeth are just different, Karen.
Teeth are different on every human. Every person has a different situation. But I would say that sour candy, there's some chemical that makes it so sour. I think it gets in there more than average, more than just sugar or chocolate or whatever.
Yeah. You're right. I think I've had my tongue and cheeks hurt because of certain sweet and sour situations. I don't know. It's hard to, you just get used to it. And then it's hard later to pinpoint where the pain comes from.
No, because
trying
the
to
whole,
eat something designed to make you happy.
You're supposed to be happy and you kind of don't want to let it go. So you just eat, you power through the pain, sour, like something's wrong with my tongue part of it. You just power through it. And you're just like, more is better.
Yeah, I need to get into more like Greg Barrett would say pectin based candies because I've been eating a lot of chocolate type things and it's like, what am I doing? I just, you know, I just ate a giant candy bar. Maybe I should.
We're just all killing time is what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just kind of lightly bandaging our fear sores and eating candy.
Oh, you're
watching.
Speaking to the choir. I just got off Netflix. A wild hog screening. I mean, I was just released
from a wild hog screening.
That is the eating too much candy version of your eyeballs. You know what I mean. I just, it's not a good film. I know I'm not bringing anything new to the table.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're just, with movies like that, I sometimes, if I watch those movies, sometimes they're super enjoyable. And then sometimes they're so, it's like, it makes me sick to my stomach because it feels like it's all the same words from another similar movie that's just they're just rehashed into a different script. Yeah. Like, it's so familiar when people have exchanges and then it's like, he's right about that. You know, there's like these things that you watch happen that you know what they're going to say, and it's really not, it's not,
it's
fresh
called
in
the,
any way.
That's going to leave a mark syndrome. Yes.
Thank you.
God. Exactly. I mean, I think they even said that in this. And again, so much going to homophobia for it's a lot of movies. We already talked about that. Even 2000, 2005, that movie was like early 2000s, surprisingly. It was like 2007. Yeah. And it was nonstop, like, haha, being in a situation when you're not gay and it's what gay people do. That's fucking hilarious. The whole movie was that.
You know, like, what it is, too? I think
no
there's
one
some
would do
people
that
who.
Now.
No. Well, also because it's not that funny. You
no,
know
it
mean?
Never
like,
was.
You have to compete. Like, you have to make it something good that's actually like something a kid on a playground couldn't do.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of being like in the movie business.
Yeah.
So it's important that it's like the people who are really good at putting words together. I think they watch movies like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Remember the one moment of That's Not a Pillow.
Those
and
aren't
they're
pillows.
Like,
yeah.
Those aren't pillows. And then that it's like they base the whole movie off of that where it's like, no. The reason that moment was so funny is because everything around it was character building, hilarious, interpersonal.
Yeah,
you like hanging out with these
guys.
The
funny thing about that is, like, my hands are between two pillows. Like, that's a funny statement.
Yes,
to whisper to your friend's ear. There's other reasons, but yeah, you're right. That for some reason, I'm not mad at that joke at all. It's hilarious.
Because my point is, they saved it. It's one. Yeah. They didn't do it the entire movie.
Right.
It's almost the crescendo of this is driving me crazy. All these things that could happen when traveling is fucked up.
Yeah.
And then right down to someone's got their hands.
Yeah, wild hogs wouldn't even stagger them. There was no space between them. They'd go back to back. That's gay jokes. It was insane. Wow. But anyway, still enjoyed a lot of it.
It's nice to live in a time where you can see the distance we have put between 2007 and 2020.
Right. Because we're all grasping to see it because it feels like a lot of times it feels like we haven't progressed. If there's still 1960s versions of racist people being outspoken and empowered right now, we haven't advanced at all. But when it comes to certain things like homophobia, I think that we can be proud of that. And I just felt that not to talk about Schitt's Creek again, but just that whole, because I really got into it and I tried to once before and I'm like, these are rich people not being likable. No thanks. And everyone was talking about it. So I jumped ahead of 10 episodes. And then I was like, oh, it's Catherine O'Hara being a genius and whatever. But they live in a town, a small town where there are even Chris Elliott, the mayor, is like a redneck. Looks like he has a mullet haircut that's a goat chewed his hair. And there is at no point are you afraid of. Like when they're in the store and they're kissing, that's a gay couple in a small redneck town. At no point do you feel like something bad's going to happen. It's like a safe, it's like a version of a world that exists. I don't know.
And, you know, Dan Levy did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Fuck, well, we do that every time. But that was intentionally to be like, this is just a world where all love is okay. Yeah. And that to show that to people,
yes,
their entire families, that this is great and fine and completely normal. And there's no fight.
Yeah. That after a few episodes, I realized, oh, this is a thing. This is a perfect world situation.
Yeah.
And I kept getting more into it. Because I'm so used to terrible things. Like, well, we have to have an episode where this terrible thing happens. And all the conflict in it was lighthearted. And I fucking felt good. Every time I watched that show, I felt good afterwards. Like, I was in a good mood.
Like, you're thinking of, like, your childhood TV experience where the $6 million man had to fight Bigfoot that time. Like
exactly.
Fuck, not or, this.
Yeah. Or that Highway to Heaven episode where he tries to save another kid and he dies of cancer after a half hour.
The kid? Just,
yeah.
Highway to Heaven went there.
There's a lot of cancer camps in Highway to Heaven, which I've also been watching.
Highway to Heaven goes there, lives there, stays there for 45 minutes. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of crying.
It ain't
afraid
to stick its feet up on the coffee table for a while.
And really show you a kid with cancer on TV.
Yeah. It was a traumatic. That's the first time I remember looking over and seeing my dad, who was described himself as atheist, but we would watch Highway to Heaven and he would just cry.
Yeah.
I'd look over and his mouth would be open because he was trying not to cry. So he'd just have his mouth open. I'm like, why does my dad have his mouth all the way open? And his eyes were welling with tears, trying not to cry.
That's, and it's so the funny. Cheesy,
but I've been watching Highway to Heaven. I have to get out of the house. I have to go camping. I have to go.
Look, I know. Yeah, exactly. You need to get out into the nature. That'll be nice.
I'm going to your house. I'm bringing the painting tomorrow.
All right.
Hey, I don't care if you got shit to do.
Don't fucking threaten me.
And then I'm going to
Bridgers.
No,
you absolutely can. Okay. You can come over. I'll leave the front door open for you.
Okay,
and bring me that fucking painting because
can I
couldn't
leave
be
my
more
hat
thrilled.
On? I don't know if that. It sounded like you just said a lyric to that song.
Yeah. Let's see. I ordered pizza the last couple of nights. I'm just trying to think of interesting, like, every time I go to eat dinner, make dinner, or order dinner, it feels like I'm eating the same three things all the time now.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be more creative. You know what I haven't had in a long time is Zanku chicken, which it seriously solves so many problems.
Especially if you don't have to go into one of their dirty locations. If That's you can get that food delivered to your house, because it's going to be sweaty anyway.
Oh, but I have to say the location in Toluca Lake is lovely.
There was
Hollywood ones are the old ones. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a good one in Santa Monica by the Fox building back when I had a job and insurance. And anyway, it was very clean and a nice facility. But yeah, I honestly, it's a pretty good bet.
Was it a nice facility?
It was a great facility. Good structure.
The facilities were unbelievable.
Oh, I had a nice foundation and a good cement pour down below. The roof had no leaks.
This drywall is expensive.
Nice
and they
bathroom.
Really spent.
No digital lock. You just walk into the bathroom. Hey, good facility. Good manager. Clean, clean counters. Nice surfaces. This Zanku. I could talk about it all night. But anytime I order Greek food or Mediterranean food, it's going to be good. Like if you get any pita and hummus and a rice protein situation, you're going to be happy. I think it's
Middle Eastern food, right? Ultimately.
It's a whole pyramid. It's a whole meal. It's like a diet now. Mediterranean diets. People are dying
left
and right.
Well, there's Mediterranean, but then Mediterranean is more Greek food, right? But Middle Eastern is more like Persian food, or isn't Zanku?
No, I think it's the other way. I think the Mediterranean is like Greek.
That's what I said.
It is. Okay. Well, I guess it was the way you worded the sentence. And then I had to like dissect it. And
yeah, you really got in there and really set everybody's
Mediterranean
head
is Greek. What was it? Oh, Middle Eastern food is like, what I just, you sag paneer and things like that.
That's Indian.
That's Indian food. I haven't done a lot of traveling globally, Karen. This isn't me. In high school, they don't teach you about other foods.
No, that's right. This is all self-educated.
They were just it's Montana history and buffalo meat. That's all I got.
Look, I relate. Chicken. Petaluma was the egg capital of the world. You know, I had super basic shit and stuff made with Campbell soup, as we've talked about multiple times. My mom was like the queen of 70s kitsch cookbooks of like, you can make 50 dinners with this one kind of soup.
That was, are you like talking about that life. One that was like red gingham? It's like a table.
Well, that's the joy of cooking. That's Betty Crocker. Betty Crocker.
There are like Bibles of cookbooks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of stroganoff based dishes, you know. It's sour cream. Yeah, there's some gravy in there.
Oh my God.
Get an egg noodle.
My mom was so reliant on cream cheese and sour cream for so many recipes, where it's like the clam sauce spaghetti that my sister and I both love and crave to this day was, I think, butter, cream cheese, sour cream, a can of cream of mushroom soup, and then you just put clams in it. Sure. With some of the juice. There was like some technical stuff that you had to pay attention to, and then put it on a bed of pasta. And
The
only thing I knew, that's like what I would bring to a Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh yeah, that's good. did your mom ever make you, to go along with that, did she ever do like a garlic bread, or did she do like a steamed vegetable? What would she do on the sides there?
Oh yeah, it would be just garlic bread added to the clam sauce spaghetti.
Right.
Just nothing but an entire table of beige and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a color coded. There would be no vegetables.
Yeah.
But if there was, it was always from a bag or something, like frozen. Sometimes it would be from the garden, and I think I was too young to know the difference, because that excites me now. But yeah, frozen.
To be able to grow, like, get some cukes in there or some tomatoes.
Some cukes. You got your beans. You got your squash. I ate repeatedly at a golf course in Montana when I was at my dad's. Because they would make this salad. They're like, yeah, we make it from our garden vegetables. And I was like, I guess I'll try that. And it was the best, like, talk about texture, biting into all this random fresh vegetables. I was like freaking out. It was so good. And
it was like backyard farm to table.
Everything in the salad was from this garden.
Delicious.
And I was losing my mind because I was at a golf course. It's like you're supposed to be eating chicken fingers. It was so good. But and so
Missoula brought it.
So I ordered a box of vegetables because I thought maybe I just need to be surprised. And I didn't know what to do with any of them. Eggplant, the squash. I don't know what to do with that.
No, have to make a parm. You might need to make some zucchini circles.
Yeah. Or this wasn't the kind of spaghetti squash that my mom used to make that too, which was, that was definitely a healthy thing. But it was that canned spaghetti sauce. You scrape the spaghetti squash and pretend it's pasta.
Yeah. Never? I know people that do that.
I
personally will not. I can't eat zucchini, anything in the squash family.
I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
That consistency is rough.
I know. I don't like it either. I never, and I'm not a picky eater, but I think I could make it to where I like, if you have that, if you have a plate of it, then put some Parmesan on it, and then you bake that. What do you think now? It's a twice baked. I've been cooking. I've been learning a lot, Karen.
I think that, what you just suggested, Chris, is an actual solution here, because Parmesan fixes everything. It's such a good, strong cheese. Also, that's ultimately what I'm looking for, is that it's all different ways, mechanisms to get cheese into my mouth. So,
right. But and then also, the problem is, I know you're a real texture hound. This will be a crispy outer. It's like a twice baked potato. Parmesan encrusted, spaghetti squash in the middle.
That's going to be the downfall.
No, I haven't finished. I've injected the juices of something else that I haven't thought of in the very middle. So it's like a starburst. But not sweet, salty.
The consistency of squash is like a prank.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. And as a kid, squash night was going to be one of those nights where I was forced to sit at the table. This sounds abusive almost, but it's the only time my parents were strict with table type things. Like my dad would get mad if I wasn't holding the spoon right. I think that came from their grandparents. Two grandparents that I didn't ever really enjoy
approve the
company of. Yeah. And I would have to sit there if I didn't eat something. It'd be 9 o'clock and it'd be cold. And then it's like, okay, you can finally go to bed. I would spend like hours sitting in front of food.
My parents did that to us too. If we didn't eat something, you just had to sit there until you ate it.
Right. And usually it was like low grade raw meat that wasn't cooked. It was like stuff that later in my life, my mom would be horrified. I would be scared she'd catch me eating meat. But when I was a kid, she was like, you sit and contemplate this raw shit and this undercooked squash. And I'm like, no. Man.
Me like, life's too short, man. I can't do it. Peace.
But I do know that if I was ballsy enough to put it in a napkin or right into my pocket and give a little to my cat and make it to the garbage can and throw it away, kind of wrapped in a napkin, I know my mom or dad saw it in the trash.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you got us this time. They wouldn't then go, what's this in the trash?
No.
If I got it to the trash, I was off the hook. And I appreciate that now.
They were basically telling you, you had to get creative. If you were going to be high maintenance, that you had to earn it. And then you did.
Yeah. I don't care how you do it. I want this plate empty.
Yes. Do it. And that's your challenge. However you can.
Okay.
One time I wouldn't.
No, I always wear a top hat to dinner.
I was supposed to eat broccoli. And my genius idea was I put it in my mouth as my mom was staring at me, started to chew it, then took a sip of milk and spit it all into the glass of milk. And then she just came back over. Was just like, what are you going to do now? How are you going to solve this?
So she could just
like, I don't know. Just sitting here, I guess.
She just looked into your broccoli. Milk and saw the broccoli chunks.
Yep, it was all just floating right there. I just thought for a second it would somehow like go to the bottom and disappear.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. There aren't enough experiments where you see dismantled broccoli and how buoyant it is.
It'll float. If they had just like, you know, all kids had to deal with this, whether you're hiding it under a piece of meat or you're hiding it under your plate or if you're fancy enough to have a mom that used placemats.
Yeah, yeah.
But. It's fucking sucked. That Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and squash were like, man, I was screwed.
Well, tonight, I believe I'm making a meal. I didn't even look at what it is. I didn't go to the website and check it. So I think that I got some vegetarian recipe. But I'll add stuff to it. I've been modifying. That's kind of fun.
Do you have Parmesan cheese you can add to it?
I have a bag of cheese from a previous recipe.
Owner?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see what I can do, but I'm not. It sounds funny, but I've never had a sharp knife and really good non-Teflon pans that are like decent pans where you don't even need oil. Like, I think I'm going to cook healthier now because I have good pans. I used to use butter and oil out of necessity because it's like, would stick immediately, and now I have this nice shit. So I'm kind of excited.
Okay, well, you know, it's in 2 weeks, dinosaurs. You're gonna hear what Chris's meal was like. Please take Polaroids.
No, I made a video.
Really fill us in.
My last, I put them on Instagram. These cooking videos, but I mentioned my mother's maiden name, and someone said, "Hey, you shouldn't say that since you've been." Dealing with identity theft, so I took it down.
Yeah.
But that was a poblano black bean quesadilla that I added some ground turkey to, and then the turkey made it too bulky, so it turned to a burrito, but I really nailed it.
What kind of tortilla did you use for that burrito?
Well, because I haven't met anyone to invent corn tortillas yet, it was a giant flour one, and it made my knuckles hurt. I got really inflamed.
Oh, because you ate flour.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. I'm telling
makes sense,
you.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, look, if you can make this gluten-free corn tortilla work and fold and do all the things,
yeah,
it'll be a boon because, like, my niece has celiacs. It's the current state of gluten-free tortillas isn't ideal, I think, for most people.
I'm so happy that you are now emotionally invested in this. Now comes the financial investment, Karen. I need money to get these tortillas off the ground.
Sorry, you mistook my emotional investment.
You're supportive. Therefore... I gotcha. I accept your support and see it as no more. Thank you.
There isn't even support. I want facts. I want proof that this can even happen.
I think it's going to all unfold and one day you're just going to have to say sorry.
I mean, I hope to. I hope that's the dream. I would love to be wrong. Prove me wrong. I'd love
and
to
I'll
be wrong.
I'll be riding around in my yellow corn Cadillac.
Oh, corn cob yellow.
Yeah, with my corn based wheels.
With your gluten stereo.
Yeah. I'll still listen to gluten music. I'm not a monster.
I think we might need to start booking guests on this show.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Just going to get weirder and
I know.
I mean, I have nothing to fucking say anymore.
Let's do it. Me either. And as much fun as we can have talking for what we could go for another hour, but it's starting. We're not going to, new people aren't going to come along and start listening to our podcast. The old people are hanging on and they like us enough to where they're hanging on.
Yeah, but we're now like the two friends that are super drunk and the last people at the party.
Yeah,
that's what it started.
And
no
I'm
offense.
The only one that's drunk.
I'm so having a good time and laughing plenty. And I feel like,
right.
Could it be possible that other people are too?
No, it's one
How
of the.
Could it be possible?
We can figure it out. I will even have someone over at my house or something if we don't jump in a car. But yes, let's start having guests.
Yeah, we can just do a third Zoom. It's
okay.
Not a big deal. Yeah.
Great. I didn't think that of course, technology is the answer.
Yes, always. Yeah, Stephen can help us figure it out.
Well, this is one of those terrible wrap-ups, but I am about to pee my pants. I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah.
Well, then let's wrap it down.
Yeah, it's important to close things out medically.
Yes.
But I'm
just kind of give a state of the state. I don't have to pee personally. I went beforehand.
I know. I took my medication. I don't get it. It's good to see you, friend. And I'm going
to
come over
too.
And bring that painting for real.
Great. I'm so excited.
Real Great. Tomorrow, not tomorrow after. Well, never mind. Yes.
Not,
I'll see
we're
you
not going to base it on the podcast.
No.
We have to wait until this airs and then you can come over.
Yeah. See you Tuesday.
Right.
All right. Cool. Well, it's good to see you, friend. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN AR.
AR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.